older relatives, I believe.
Yes, Michelle, it's under a new Greg Wi-Fi.
Greg and Ashley are at
recent that she's going to be looking for CLQ.
So good, they made the finals.
No longer
played a team that from here that we beat in the state cup last week. We lost to them yesterday and we play them again in the league on Friday. So
oh my gosh.
Kind of the grudge match.
What age is this? Which
year? Aaron was 2-0 against state football.
I heard that.
And she's both 10, are
so
the two,
U11.
Two of the three teams we lost to.
They were up 1-0 in
over the years.
State cup. And there's
and
really questionable handball.
One of them have a quarterback who's just a little.
The other team makes
fun.
The PK handball over time.
Oh my god!
I was so proud of it. Like I keep telling him, take a church in basketball, and he's played a couple of times, and it hadn't happened.
Yeah, I mean, it, but
you know, he's got some strings and fantasy football.
Anything can happen.
This kid just full speed, Lincoln just took it and.
That's
and
awesome.
Lincoln held his ground, and the kid had just laid him out. He kind of wallowed around on the ground a little bit.
That yeah. is too funny.
I've got 6:30 on my phone, so I'm going to call the May City Council, Lake Grove City Council meeting to order. We're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I'd like to recognize the visitors. Nobody here, so we're going to jump up our SIP report for Bill Cole.
Thank you.
He's going to go next.
This will be very brief. First of all, apologies. The Garden Club has called me, and I have Fupod. Of the 28 letters I get from SMAC that says do this, do this, do this, that was the I get around to it, and I did not get around to it. There is funding available for stormwater management, matching funds for some types of things that certain entities can do within cities. We do not have 21 funding for it. I explained it to the Garden Club member, McEnany. She said that's not a problem, but I wanted to make sure I talked about it in the meeting because she was going to be here to talk about it. Basically, I will apply for the 22 and let the Garden Club do it. It has to do with trying to capture as much water as you can from rain barrels mm-hmm. and everything else that would be associated with Garden Club work. And if you apply as a city, the city then reimburses in whatever function they feel necessary those parties that participate. So it's something we ought to think about because I would imagine maybe even the golf course,
mm-hmm.
maybe even just take your pick. Some of the other things that go on here could go on. Right. So that's number one item, and that's going to be in the way. So we will apply in July and get the funding in January of next year, and it'll be 22 funding. So
okay.
It's something I need to take care of. Okay. Second item is EAP. We have submitted our EAP. It doesn't look like there's any comments from the state in the original that we sent them. They will do their 3-month, 4-month, 12-month review and let us know if it meets the specifications. So we also sent it to Wyandotte County, who had no comments, and we sent it to Johnson County. So we don't anticipate anyone, but they could send back something saying you didn't get it right. But I think it's been much more of a detailed document than what we had before, and it addresses all of the concerns. Now, the next step then will be the inspection that we have. McClure is aware of what our new document says. So there's some things that we need to begin to do, including, for instance, just one little one, measurement of something that physically tells us what the lake level is. And in the past, we have said, no, we can't do that. It's ugly. And that's fine. It is ugly, but we need to know what the lake level is. So somewhere attached so that someone can see it. And we know, besides all of the automatic meter measuring that we do, you need to have a physical measure that someone can see. So that's kind of an example of what we need to take in. And then some of the steps that we've reduced them as much as possible, but contracts with night lighting, contracts with sand, contracts with excavators who would be at least in a relationship with them so that if disaster happens, you're on the list and you have the opportunity to get some. So those are all steps that have to be done. We should assume it's approved and move forward. Okay. We've invoiced for that work and it was within budget. The next item is the spillway contract. Thank you, Michelle. We have it finally in place. We had our first kickoff meeting today, next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be busy, so I'm going to ask somebody, hopefully Dean, to go with Tom and with their team to do the walk out of the spillway, and then they have 43 days to complete the work. And remember, this particular step was take the idea that Tom conceptually developed, look it over, put numbers to it as Tom independently did, back at the envelope. They need to do it officially and say, this looks like it will work. We recommend you go forward. There are some extra things. Go ahead.
When is that?
Tuesday, 43 days to get it done. That's McClure.
No, when are they walking it?
Next Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
He's in out of Columbia. Their guru on hydro is out. They live in Columbia, so he'll be coming up here to do that.
Okay.
And Tom's going to join them just to make sure he's gone through some of the once that's complete, we need to let all of you get on a bus or meet us in Lawrence and take a look at the overbuyer, what is in the Kansas River, because that's what they are looking at and reviewing. They've complained about in a variety of things. It's hard to get pricing because everybody's so busy working,
yeah.
And nobody wants to commit to getting something because prices have, you know, we have inflation, especially in infrastructure development stuff, worse than anywhere. But that's one of the things that we think we can get. And then any alternative. I've told them if they've got a better plan than Tom's or Tom's got a hole in it, mm-hmm. then we can figure that out. There are other tasks that, which we have not given them that are not in the contract, such as what do we need to do to the west side? How much would it cost to cover it up? Traffic control on the west side. Those are all secondary items that we can put into the next contract that an engineer needs to do to give us the design of the entire operation. And also add at least some deeper hydrology to the water coming off of the lake. But right now, we're going to have that from them in 40-so days. We had a good meeting with them this morning, and they believe they can do all of that. And we've told them they might get a few more tasks, but we have not released that for them. And so it's our call as to whether or not the city's call as to whether we want to do that or not. Once that occurs, and if we get to that level, then we need to think about, and we as this group here in front of me, what do you want to do? And when I say that, the question is, plan on a, be quite honest, plan on a fall 2022 implementation. Because that's when the water's down, that's when there's less rain, that's when we're not affecting the lake. Because we don't want to have to build a copper dam, we want to be able to do it when the lake is down as much as we do in the wintertime, or a little bit more. But the key thing here is that if we're just going to fix a spillway, that's great. And there will be a contract for X amount. You'll have a guesstimate. Notice that an engineering estimate is a guesstimate on what it should cost to do just the spillway. That's number one. But if we want to put a walkway inside, if we want to build a bridge across, if we want to do a waterfall, if we want to do walkways down through, if we wanted to put the latest on per field, all those types of things we could incorporate into a program across both entities and figure out how much money we have to borrow, or can we do just the spillway out of cost, with me, out of cash flow over a period of time. So those kind of decisions we have to at least think about. And that's something that I would like to make sure we have a decision on from this group before December of next year. So that then we can decide on, okay, how you want to contract it? Are we going to do it the traditional way? Or do we want to go out and find an engineer, a constructor, and do this in a collaborative fashion, you know, public-private partnership, to where they're coming up and doing a lot more value engineering to what we're trying to do. So we've got the right equipment out here to do a bunch of stuff at the same time. All those types of things. And maybe we accept more risk. That is all needs to be decided here, not here or by Tom or anyone else. If we want to do it traditionally, that's fine. And we're okay with any of those. Now, the last piece is we have not charged, and remember we talked about a hydro review. Mm-hmm. We have done the intake, and we would consider that the power market, the fuel study. Our fuel here is water. So we've gotten that stuff figured out. We got the pipe distance figured out. And we believe from that perspective, it makes sense. And the way it makes sense, it's cheaper than KCPL's rates right now, or Evergy's rates right now. Now, that's the first half of an equation. It has to be cheaper when we need the power. So we need to know when we need the power. That we is the city and Q Inc. And any other entity around here, especially public, who might want to join us, wastewater, or the water plant down here.
Yep.
You know, all these people are potentials where we could say, hey, we can get you this power or this time of the day, et cetera. But all of that can't be done until we really need to see what this city has, which we have those records. We have not gotten from Dean. Dean says he sent it. We have not seen that record of what their bills are, not time of day, but months. So we can at least get a little more particular because we have to match those things up. Then there's a sit down with Dean to say, when do we pump for the, watering the golf course? Can we vary that? That kind of question has to get answered so that we can decide, can we do that behind the meter so it never gets to Evergy, which is what you want to do. That's the most effective use. And then what do we need to do to control with Evergy? Not losing the fact that if we never existed, they would still provide power, how that would work. So we've gotten the first part of that completed. It looks like we have enough intake water the last 20 years of how much water has come in. What the valley looks like that we drain, which, by the way, is pretty enormous if you stop and think about it. You know, behind Target, you hear, or if you go to Ray Marsh Elementary to here, those are all in our drainage area. In terms of how much water there is. And then basically the next question we would have to ask, and these are not questions that are easy to answer, is what will this community put up with? 1 foot? 2 foot? In other words, how much of a lake variation? You know, when I walk down to my dock, will I get upset on June 3rd that it's this deep instead of this deep?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of question. And then we also have to think about, and again, this is really long term, is, wait a minute, if we need to dredge this place in 20 years, what if we raise the level 2 feet? Now we got to dredge it only in 40 years. Are you with me in terms of deciding the elevation of the lake? But look at the beach. What do we do there? We look at the sailing dock and other places around here. What could we take? And what's flexible enough and what's not and how much does it cost? So there's a whole bunch of those kind of longer term questions. You're never going to please everybody, but if we can tell them that the electric bill for Q Inc. and prove that the electric bill for Q Inc. is 5% of what it would be by doing this, that makes sense. You know, can we pay is it a 3-year payback? Is it a 5-year payback? All the kind of questions that you did on your roof a few weeks ago and the rest of us look at in terms of what's the payback. So that's a separate project. You guys haven't paid anything. We've looked at that and hope it would continue, but we'll see what happens when we look at the bills. That's my. Nothing else on stormwater went on. Opti worked wonderful through all of these adventures. We got more of a less mud pie and more lake back there. I've not heard any complaints. I hope the rest of you have not. We're going to move up another foot soon. We need to kind of wait just a little while. But we can put another block in there and hold more water back there.
And what was the new upgrade that we just got?
3G to 4G.
3G to 4, okay.
And the electro-telecommunication expert installed it without blowing anything up.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Congratulations.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so what do you need from any of us?
Nothing.
Before the June meeting?
I need to have you all doing some pulse of the community to say, you want a $2 million bond, and we don't know what those numbers are. We'd have a reasonable idea what those numbers are soon.
Okay.
But, and then the last piece is the study that went on for the park and other things. I think the things that I put in that document we made for you all, the only thing I would change is I would not put a walkway on the grass side of the dam. If you want to walk on the grass side, you go down that spine, you walk along the bottom, and you come up across the spillway to this side.
Okay.
And we already had that in the plan. It's the matter of you were messing with the slope. And then there's all kinds of things you got to mess with the state. So,
yeah.
But on the other side, inside the lake, these guys said, yeah, we can work on how to get that accomplished and get a negative drainage so that it's doing the right way. But the rest of them, the traffic over on that side, all of that is functional. We can also not do generation now, but install the pipe to a waterfall that allows us to do it at a later date. That's mm-hmm. possible, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to say it as an example, but if you're on Metcalf at 103rd, just north of 103rd on the east side of the street, there's a waterfall behind that place where they test drugs. They want people to come in and get their, you know, their statement, one of the...
Oh, the sleep testing plan?
Yeah. There's a waterfall that's there. It's probably doing very little water, but it looks big.
Yeah.
You can do a lot with a little bit of water. That may be a good example that we could probably do at the current site or something like that.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, I rattled for a while. Michelle, anything to add on contracts? You're going to talk about the contract for the dam inspection. Philosophically, may I say something?
Go for it.
Philosophically, there's, I'm an engineer. I'm going to take a $10 million risk, 0.1% to happen, to make $3,000. It doesn't make it. Municipal people are going, nope, you're going to take it. So
yeah.
It's always a conflict that goes on. But the whole concept of liquidated damages,
limitation of liability.
Limits liability. It's always an issue, and no matter how big the item is. And this is one of them you guys got to talk about as to what the city would take.
Yeah.
As long as you got the insurance money, that's about all you're going to get.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I have a question. Okay, and this actually does relate to Garden Club and its involvement in this project. So,
yes, ma'am. Got to take this off the here. That's not true.
So remind me, because I know Kelly Thompson has told me that he did some work, and I know I think he came here, and I don't know that we actually saw the list of all the things. Maybe we did that could happen like in the park area.
Okay.
He came and looked at it. The foundation was going to pay for the study, but we said, let's hold off until we figure out what we're doing.
Yeah. Okay. So this list of things that we've tossed around, I remember you standing up here.
Right.
Saying we could have this and that and da da da. And I don't know, maybe I don't have my list. But the reason I'm asking about this is, we're having our big fundraiser, the Homes Tour.
Right.
And we, just like the golf simulator project, we want to declare a project that our profits from the auction and the Homes Tour and all that will go to, instead of just saying, oh, it's going to go in some fund, and some of us will just decide what to do with it. And so everybody thinks that this is a good idea to designate this for the, quote, park, but that we don't even know what we can do. Is this true? Until we know which side things are going to happen on or what's going to happen, I don't know what the development and who's actually leading the development of, or who could be leading the development of that park area.
Well, it's queuing property, but I think my understanding is it would be a collective group of people from the city, people from queuing, maybe residents, Bill.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yes, at this point, it's queuing's property, but it's downstream of the dam, so we have a reason to be involved. That's number one.
Yeah.
You got to figure out how, if you're going to borrow money, as Aaron knows, you got to make sure it's for the purposes of the city. And there are some winks and nods and stretches in terms of industrial revenue bonds and all kinds of. You scratch your head, the Speedway was built with, government money on private land by developers after, I'm on a tangent. you scratch your head and go, what? Okay, but that's an example of how wacky it gets. But it's for the benefit of Kansas. Same thing we can talk about here. But we have to be very cautious of how you legally structure that. And right now, to answer your question, I don't think anyone's in charge. Okay? I don't think I or that paper I handed you should determine what we're going to do. It's input. And I think we have to construct an entity of some kind with two members that are dominant, city, Q Inc., a public-private partnership, and at that point, other interested parties, the foundation, the garden club, the stables, whoever can have some input into whatever that entity looks like. And in my opinion, it should dictate what we do around this. If the city buys the spillway for, some number, and then adds the walkways for some number, and then adds walkways down here, at some point, the reason for those would be to be able to quickly get equipment to repair the dam. Okay, just like the Interstate Highway, it was designed for the military to move around. You all see all the Army trucks on Interstate Bull. Reasons for all of us to spin around. You see what I mean? They stretch a reason to make it still legal. I think that's what we need to find, and that entity needs to quickly be developed once the spillway cost is determined. Because then you get an answer to your question.
Okay. And so right now we're waiting on the which side is it going to be, and then the next step is to figure out the if it's east side, we're going to go with the east side, we think. I mean, if that's the answer.
Right.
And then the next step is to get the cost, and that's a whole other.
Yeah. And somebody's then you get into the bonding and all that stuff.
So this can go on for.
We're perfectly designed, to have this take a long, long time. And all my point is that we need to get the spillway fixed. It's working. The other one is still working. But this is an amenity which would be attractive on both sides. That's a road that we don't run into with our golf carts.
But you listed fall of 22 for when you would hope this would occur, correct?
Dirt and the dig in fall of 22 so that it is finished by winter of 22. That's kind of the thinking I would have. This is not a major project. We're not going up high 20 stories.
Sure. You're talking about the spillway infrastructure, not the
correct
gondola and the waterfall.
Yeah.
Correct. But while we're doing the spillway, we need that crane to do blink. Let's do the gondola at the same time or whatever else we come up with. And that coordination can be very, very done very effectively, and it could also be a disaster.
So, Gail, when do you have to have a...
Ideally, this would be our everything's going to happen in October of this year, and you hate to just go, well, at least we'll have the decision. We'll know.
What side it's on.
And then I was thinking that I didn't realize the thing about that we never will got the official list.
Right.
The list was just people's ideas.
Yeah.
Because that's what really we need in order to I guess
you could always just classify it as beautification of park north of the
right.
dam.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Which still to be determined.
Would be nice to have.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
possibilities include. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The beautiful things. And maybe we might have ideas.
We might. Yep.
Okay. That's
And the only ideas officially you have is a document some guy wrote that was a collection of what people said are his ideas. Okay, the rest of the people have given you guys ideas.
Where is that document? We all got
the one it was the one we did.
Yeah, I remember it's up there.
So Bill had some ideas, and then Kelly Thompson, just walking through there, he had some ideas.
A lot of them were the same. A lot of them were similar.
His football field was in the wrong place.
Yeah, and he didn't have a water slide or anything.
Would you consider this project to be an investment in water infrastructure?
I bet. Kathy, do you still have that?
What's that?
The document that Bill had that kind of had the possibilities.
We'll send you a note and I'll
find it
in my very detailed filing system.
I'll try and find it.
She'll find it.
Okay. Any other questions for Bill or Bill? Anything else to add?
Okay. No.
Well, thanks again. As always.
Well, hopefully everything will work like it's supposed to. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for your help, Michelle.
Sure.
And Kathy.
Kathy.
And daughter.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for joining.
Bye.
Okay, moving on. Number 4, consider approval of minutes. We got 2 to approve. First one is from the March 1st, 2021 regular council meeting. Everybody had a chance to kind of read through those. I know it was kind of a long time ago. And if so, any changes, any objections?
I make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from March 1st.
Okay. We have a motion?
I second.
Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. The ayes have it. Motion carries. Moving on to the second one from the March 11th, 2021 special council meeting. That one was very, very short, so it should be pretty easy.
Make a motion to approve the March 11th.
Okay. Got a motion?
Second.
Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Any further discussion? All right. Ayes have it again. Motion carries. Moving on to Aaron's treasurer report.
Okay, we can start with the month of March. For March, we were light on budget for revenue, and we were right on budget for expenses, which is always good when that happens. A little bit below budget for expenses there, but we are right on revenue budget for the year, just a tad below budget for expenses for the year. Some ones I wanted to point out from way back then. Really not that much. That was out of the ordinary until you get to about page 4. Then you will see the 14,000 plus payment to Hamilton on March 2nd for the repair and upgrades to the gas station. Moving on to page 5, you will see the plan for the cameras. That's the electronic tech, the monitoring down there. You will see the $20,000 interest-only payment to Johnson County Wastewater on the sewer. You will see the $29.97 payment to Olson for the work that was done for the dam. And there were no journal entries that month. If anyone has any questions for Mark?
What's Bill?
That is one of yours.
What is what?
Bill to Pitt.
The last one on page 6.
That is
the repayment of a
building permit.
Yep. Oh,
okay.
The bond.
Yes. Okay. Anything else for Aaron? Do we approve these, the March and April, separately?
Probably best. Anyway, just in case there's any.
I don't have any questions.
Make a motion to approve the March.
Is that a motion?
I second.
You have a second? Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Any further discussion? Okay, the ayes have it. Motion carries. Moving on to the April treasurer's report.
Okay, so for April, we are a little bit below budget, 6% below budget for the month for revenue. A lot of that was due to court fines being below, but then our Westar payments for franchise fees were a little bit lower than expected. And so was our sales and use for that month. For expenses, we were way below for not a lot of expenses during the past month. Looking at some checks for this month I wanted to touch on. Again, not that much until you get to about page 5. You will see the $2,200 check plus to Olson. That was for more of the parking lot master plan design. You will see the $1,386 to double check. That was for more gas station repairs that they had to come out and do. And then the very last one on page 6, the remaining $12,548 to Hamilton for gas station repairs as well. Again, no journal entries for that one.
Oh, I had a question.
Yes.
I think I sent it to you. Maybe I didn't put some. Today.
Good.
So the on the P&L, under capital improvements reserve.
Yes.
And the streetscape road improved $13,000.
So that was the gas station payment that we approved.
Oh, that's the gas station.
Yep. We just made that like a general category for some things right now.
So that goes against the $93,508 reserve?
In that one, yes.
That's our beautification fund?
Yeah, but it could move to, like I said, all of those can move, so we can take it out of road, we can take it out of emergency exit if that doesn't end up happening. We don't really have an unallocated anymore, and that was just the one with the most besides the spillway.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, Anything else to add, Aaron? Any questions for Aaron?
Only other thing I was going to add on that one, next month you'll see a new account on here where it's building deposit liability, cash fund liability on the front of the treasurer's report. It'll have the gas station. It will have its own separate line now for bank accounts.
Cool.
So you'll start seeing another total once the city finishes the process of taking that over. That account has been opened, but since it's at a zero balance, I have not added it on here yet. But we'll see that soon.
Okay. All righty. Good job. Any other questions for Aaron?
I'll make a motion to approve the president's report.
Yep. There's a motion. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Before that was finished, I just wanted to add, I'm sure you've heard the news about the American Rescue Plan that Biden signed into effect, that cities are going to be receiving money. Normally I'd be able to tell you how much we are receiving, but it was done by the U.S. Treasury Department, who was confused by Wyandotte County and Unified Government and thought we were all one place. And so they are redoing the totals. Edward Bell and Bonner Springs and I have been in contact with League, National League of Cities, Therese Davids, everyone we could be, to make sure that we get that separated out. Because if you have a 50,000 or above population, you get the money directly to you. And if you're below that, then it comes to the state and then it's distributed to you. And we are really not wanting our money to go to Wyandotte County and then to have to get it back from them.
Yeah.
But that is money that should be coming. It's going to be a half payment this year during 2021. And then a half payment during 2022. Treasury, we're still waiting on them to give us a little more guidance about what that money can be used for. But one of the things that they came out and said that it could be used for from the beginning is improvements to infrastructure having to do with water, sewer, or broadband. Hmm. And so one of the things, that's why I kind of threw out the little question towards the end of Bill's presentation asking if that would be heard of that, and the only rule so far is that your purchases have to be documented correctly and that you have until December of 2024 to fully spend the money. So just an FYI, that will be coming.
Any indication whatsoever?
It's funny because every city is getting something. It's $5.2 billion total. I had a call about it the other day. Kansas as a whole is getting $1.568 billion. $424 million of that is going to the cities. $565 million of that is going to counties. And then Kansas is getting an additional $4.9 billion that will be put towards education, child care, businesses, health care, and transportation upgrades. They really have not given a lot of guidance, and they really have not given a lot of dollar figures to, they've given dollar figures to everyone but us, Edwardsville and Bonner.
Really?
Even townships across the state have their figures, and we do not.
Because of Unified Government. Usually it's Unified Government.
Yeah, the whole part that we're a part of Unified Government confused the U.S. Treasury Department, which, sorry, U.S. Treasury Department, that didn't make me feel very good, but... I've been in contact with the Edwardsville person and reached out to our contact at National League of Cities. And so they're aware of it. They're going to get it distributed. But the problem, we're working on the time crunch here because Kansas is supposed to get their money on May 10th. And so we just need to do it before then.
Gotcha.
Okay. So by the next meeting, we may already have our money.
Yeah.
Or they have 30 days from May 10th to get it distributed to their cities and townships.
Okay.
So we might be still waiting, but it should be soon after that.
Good.
Well, I took the population of Lake Lavera divided by the population of Kansas times the 224 million. That comes up with, that's about 80,000.
Wow. My guess would be somewhere in that range.
So
I would assume that we would be north of 50,000 for each of our payments.
Yep.
That's convenient.
Yeah.
So I figure timing-wise might be the timing for it, not having to bond, less having to bond, things like that, making sure that the projects are finished by 2024 is really the only rules that have come out so far.
Yeah.
I've been on 4 different conference calls about this so far, and everyone is full of questions, and no one is full of answers yet.
Yeah.
And so they're really hoping the Treasury Department is going to come out with a lot more guidance. But so far, that was one of the things they talked about, water infrastructure, which may be able to come in handy for us.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Looking forward to seeing that. All right, moving on to Police Chief's report.
Everybody receive my report if you have any questions.
Did I
have anything else?
Yeah, it was quiet. Fairly quiet.
Yeah.
Nothing else to add?
Nope.
Vehicles? Are we all good with all
the vehicles? Yeah, if you've noticed the white car out about the new car was in for, it was having charging issues and it turned out to be an airbag, which I don't know how an airbag is associated with the hybrid charging system, but it is.
Yeah.
So the airbag was on back order, and it took them a little over almost 2 weeks to get it fixed. But back at business.
Side by side? Got serviced?
Yep, got serviced. It's back.
Okay. Good deal.
I'm just curious, if we hadn't kept the white one, what would you guys have used for that time, though?
We would have had to rent a car. Mm-hmm. If we could rent a car now.
Yes, you could.
It just seems like that was a really good decision, Dick.
Oh, I completely agree. Right.
It
takes a lot of stress off my shoulders, not having to worry about that.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
City Attorney's report, Michelle?
Nothing.
Okay. Moving on to City Council report. We'll start with Gail.
Oh. Okay.
And before you start, I'm going to present Councilmember Preeb's presentation. I kind of talked to him. We've got everything we need. Obviously, I can't make a motion, but I can present it.
Yes. That's
okay. Fine. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So should I just go ahead and then also in my report talk about, we have a separate item here, the status of the City Hall parking lot and terrace concrete and, the project, the building enhancement to City Hall. Do you want me to save that till then?
No, I'd say go ahead and do it.
Okay. Well, I'll start with that one. Okay. So everybody probably remembers that we paid or up to $6,000 to pay Olson and Associates for the plans for the reconfiguration, detailed plans for the reconfiguration of the parking lot. And also a concept for a potential terrace that's added to this. And so we've been working on that. And as a result of that, I've gone out and gotten some high-level estimates and all. And so basically this was all put together in this grant proposal that you all have in front of you. And this was presented by Greg, I think, on the 16th of... 17th of
April.
Okay. And so basically, just so that you I'm not going to go through this whole thing, but basically you all remember that a couple years ago we had the Gateway Enhancement Project. And that's where everybody agreed that we needed to up our ante here and make everything look nice as one is approaching Lake Revere and, as you're entering into it. And so this project was, the proposal was submitted as a part of the Gateway Enhancement Project. And so it goes through all the, all the things you have to do, go out for these proposals. And basically it gets to the details of the project, which is on the second page. And this project was, that was presented, it was the reconfiguration of the parking lot layout as a result of the Gateway Project's advising us that we should be moving the entrance exit of the parking lot. It was related to the reconfiguration of all the planting beds in the turf area, replacing the existing ADA ramp
which is really not in compliant, and creating a really nice city hall sign that would be similar to what we have in other parts of the community. That would be in front of City Hall, so we actually know it's City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And so this document has what the drawing is, and that's been presented, I think, once before, although the last meeting we decided that we wanted to keep the oak tree, the old oak tree, because it really is nice. And so that was modified a bit until we lost a couple of golf cart parking places. The document then has a drawing, or the conceptual drawing of the front of the City Hall, which I think is a very pleasing drawing, and it makes us look a little homier and, you know, just like we are somebody, that we actually, this looks like a City Hall. And so put together the cost estimate, and basically the cost estimate covered the parking lot, the concrete terrace, the stone signage, the lighting, the landscape, the ADA ramp, the piers to support the pillars for the terrace, and then a schedule that we would have liked to have started maybe early summer. But anyway, so the overall cost for that was $67,500. And so Brady presented this, and you can, you know, talk more about that, but I know that as a result of this, the presentation and discussion, it was determined that we needed to have more information about the conceptual design as far as actual architectural drawings and engineer stamps and all of that. And so in order to do that, I hooked back up with Kelly, Thompson of Olson, and he got me together with an engineer architect that he recommends. And so I've been in communication with them, Hyde Architects, I think is their name. And so we finally got back together. We've been communicating and all, but we got back together today. And basically to move forward with that, we need to have, we need to do some initial work. That would be basically to come in, measure the building, look at the structure, look at the roof, and determine, is this thing feasible or not? And if not, what can we tweak and all of that? And then basically that would be, he gives an estimate of no more than $8,500 to do this. And he would have drawings and all of that. And then if all of that plays out and looks like, things are good and it's all going to work, then they would actually go the next step forward, which would be the detailed plans, whether, whatever is needed from an engineering standpoint, however much. And he said sometimes you don't actually need, all of it and stuff, but that could be another, I think like $30,000 or something. So it's not inexpensive to do this. But, I understand, though, for us to even move forward, we have to do that. So why don't you tell us what you experienced?
First of all, they were completely on board with this. Everybody liked it. The grant was denied, not because, anything wrong with it. They all love the idea, but I think Mr. Bodder said, we'd like to see the whole concept. And then there was some talk also about, the foundation, we need to chip in because we don't have ADA compliant ramps and stuff like that. They love the monument idea. They love the look of the outside. We talked about putting a metal roof to kind of match what's going on at the beach pavilion and the sailing club and all that. So they really would just like to see just more detail, and then make a decision. But like I said, everybody was optimistic about it. I wish Annie was here so she could chime in. She was at the meeting. But you did a great job with all the information you had. I think it's something that going forward will work. I don't know how much, but, they're very, very interested. So
Okay. So, and I also got the impression that possibly the foundation would be willing to pay for the, we could submit a grant, or maybe I misinterpreted, a grant for the actual additional design, the first stage of this design work for the building.
It sounded that way, and that's something to where they could just do an email about, basically, based on the information that, you know, you provide.
And so I guess I would like to, well, first of all, are there any questions about this project at all?
As I said before the meeting, I think it looks fantastic. And really.
Okay.
And I don't know what I was expecting, but this, in my mind, exceeds expectations. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. Glad the foundation's on board.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I would like to do then is to make a motion. I can make a motion to fund not to exceed $8,500. The first phase of this design work, detailed design work, to determine whether or not we actually proceed with this structure design, or if it has to be tweaked and, you know, we do some other things.
Right.
Before voting, I mean, does it, I don't know anything about the culture of the foundation. Does it make sense to put the request in? I guess, would they be less likely to approve a request for the $8,500 if they know the city has already passed a motion approving it?
Don't we have to, I see what you're saying. Do we just...
So you're asking...
Or could the foundation reimburse the city for the $8,500, or does the foundation need to pay whoever's going to do the work directly?
I'd have to find out about that. But so
normally, when we did all the other stuff that was funded by, certainly our part of all the monuments.
And I wasn't involved in it then, so I don't remember.
Aaron,
do you remember?
We were paying for that.
We paid Vissera directly for the work that he did for the city monuments.
The hat, because the city got 50% of the city ones.
So the foundation reimbursed the city?
And if they did, was that already approved before? I mean, was that part of the process?
Well, we knew that. We knew that once we put forth the design, we knew that we were paying, I believe, each monument was, each city structure was $8,000. And they pay 50% of it, I'm sure.
I guess my two things are, I think it needs to be done regardless, but A, does the city have budgeted monies that we could throw at this, and B, if we can, I just wouldn't want to make a vote that then the foundation would maybe look at the request differently than if we would have come to them first.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know if there's a way to amend the motion that after seeking, I don't know.
So I guess the question is, you're wondering if we need to make a motion to approve this $8,500, and then you're also going to submit a grant request to the foundation for the $8,500?
Well, and that was only because I was under the impression that they could be happy to assist us in that. But I don't
that
know.
That was the vibe that I got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we can't move forward with this project without the design.
Correct.
And we have to know whether the concept works or not with the structure of this building.
Mm-hmm.
Once they do all the look behind the scenes. So,
you know, it's kind of one of those things that.
How else would we do it?
We paid, and then the foundation paid us back. Mm-hmm. Is how we did it with the monument.
And that's the same. Isn't that what happened on the QE side also?
I have no clue what happened on the queuing side, because remember we went through something where QInc was paying late and they wanted us to do it, and I told them, no, that's not something we could do.
Exactly.
So I think what could happen is if there's a motion made tonight and we approve this and you start working with that firm and they come in and say, what you want can't go here, but maybe we can do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the concern there would be, and I don't think it's a huge concern, is that then we go to the foundation and say, well, the original kind of drawing that we showed you, we can't really do that, but we can do this. So I don't know if they're going to approve something unless
I say, I see where you guys are coming from, but I would think, like, we have money in repair and maintenance for the building that we started to put some stuff aside because we thought we would do some things for this project. So we have enough to pay for it out of that. If they wanted to contribute,
right,
then I would think they could easily.
I mean, I hate like spending city money, but I think we kind of need to make the motion and decide if we're going to pay for it, let's go ahead and do it.
Correct.
And
thinking if they're
even
not
if
going
we
to.
Don't get reimbursed for correct. This, the foundation is still going to
I would still submit to the foundation.
Right.
That. But plan on them.
Yeah.
And, because it's, if we can't, to me it feels like we can't really move forward with our, so that the estimate for the parking lot, which includes the changing all the ADA ramps and all of that, and it all, the whole plan is centered on this concrete terrace floor, and you've got to have the right structure.
You've got to have the piers underneath to support
the
big structure.
Thing. And so we can't really move forward with the parking lot project.
Correct.
Until we get this
correct
figured out. And I guess if we knew after this first part of their work, the architectural firm's work, that yes. They've come in and examined the building and it looks like it's going to work. Well, then we would feel good about going forward
mm-hmm.
with the parking lot project.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be able to provide to us, okay, because I did get information on the pilers, that would be needed.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody really knows if they don't know what
right.
the weight of the structure is.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a significant amount of weight, but it's also cutting into the roof line and all that stuff. So,
yeah, I guess for my, I didn't mean to open up a can of worms. I just I think 100% agree that study needs to happen, and then I just would want to make sure we're approaching it in a manner that if there's a possibility for cost sharing or reimbursement from the foundation, we're not precluding the ability to get that by passing the motion. But if they're reimbursed, I mean, it almost feels to me like we pass a motion and then a message goes to the foundation that the city passed a motion
mm-hmm.
tonight to, do this. Do you have any interest in participating? And yes or no. And if so, great. Well, we know how to cash your check. If not, so be it. We'll be back in a couple of months with the results.
Yeah.
Is that kind of a good summation?
Yeah. It almost feels like it makes sense to just wait till the very end and not even, what are they going to do? Are they going to want to throw away money if this thing doesn't work?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I feel confident that they are going to contribute, but I also kind of feel like this part should probably be our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not to exceed $8,500. So
Before getting into the lowest level
right.
details and,
that we're okay with. Once it gets us to the $30,000 one.
Right. Yeah.
Then we have to find a place where that money is going to come from.
Yeah.
So the $8,500.
But then we really know, I mean, by that point, it's not can you do it or not do it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, once you get past the 8,500,
yep.
and it's good, then you're kind of in.
Yes.
And it sounds, I mean, it sounds like we're banking on, well, not banking on this, but we're thinking that they want to participate with us in the mm-hmm. beautification of
yes.
the entrance.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, so what? I don't know if you want to. I got all the debt I need.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I remember the motion correctly, I will second it. But I don't know if it needs to be restated or reread.
Did you finish the motion?
I think at the end of it, I was like, so what do you think?
So maybe make a motion for funds not to exceed $8,500 for design work to see if we can proceed with the project.
Okay.
Is that with Olson?
No, this is with
the architect.
High Architects.
That's the name of it? High Architect, H-I-G-H?
H-I-V-E.
Like a beehive.
So we
do have a motion.
Will you read that again, Kathy?
A motion for funds not to exceed $8,500 for design work by Hive Architects to see if we can proceed with the beautification project.
That would be proceed with. Well, it's proceed with the for that part. It's to proceed with the.
Parking lot?
The terrace
structure.
Terrace structure, okay.
And to proceed with the terrace structure, engineering documents and detailed architectural drawings. And also, as soon as we reach that point, then we can go forward with the parking
right.
lot.
Yes.
Those are mine.
Correct.
Okay. Motion for funds not to exceed $8,500 for design work by Hive Architects to see if we can proceed with terrace structure design.
And feasibility.
Design and feasibility. Okay.
Second.
So they will not actually give drawings that they would be working from. Is that correct?
Well, they would have
detailed the ones that we'll be getting back from.
Yes. Okay. It sounds like you said stamped blueprint
yeah,
engineering.
At the very
end of the $8,500.
No. That one.
What are we getting at the end of the
$8,500?
And then the next question is, do we already have a contract with them or not?
No.
No. I don't think we've ever used them.
Okay. So phase one. Is schematic design will be hourly, not to exceed $8,500. Hive proposes to visit the site and field document the existing building and relevant conditions. Hive will develop the concept provided by Olson to a schematic design level, allowing the client to solicit more detailed construction estimates for the project. That's this $8,500. Then phase two, which is, you know, the next as we proceed, this would be the total estimated architectural, structural, and MEP engineering if needed for total project, which will be between $30,000 to $40,000. Included will be full architectural and engineering services to evaluate the project and provide documents suitable for bidding, permitting, and construction.
That's phase two.
It sounds funky.
It does.
It almost sounds like what they would be doing is coming out and basically doing what Kelly Thompson did.
Redoing Kelly's, but on a...
No, like, he didn't do it. He didn't. His was a conceptual. He never came into the building.
Right.
And he just conceptualized what this would look like.
But they're just coming in to say...
Yeah, that works. Or yeah, that's,
this is
no, that
this works, and this
okay.
doesn't work.
Yeah, so
if it doesn't work, this might work instead. But now you have to go get it engineered.
They're going to measure the building. They'll bring a structural engineer out and you know look at it structurally. They'll draw. They're going to draw a building.
Feel some
drawings,
yeah.
A high level drawings. And
then they're going to tell us what, you know, what do we need to do to this drawing? You know, do we need to modify it to actually work for us? And so they'd be doing that. Then there'd be an analysis of the formal and formalize the concept, and then that would be the end of that first phase. And then they move on to all the actual.
So then they have an engineer look at it and say, you're going to need, you know, this lumber to support this weight load, and put the weight loads here, here, and here, cut in the roof here, put their stamp on it, and give us blueprints.
But that phase two is $30,000.
Yeah,
well, that seems really high.
It does.
Well, really high. Well, here's
when we get it to Fred, just have him look at it.
Well, what he said was that it really depends. They base this on, and I think the other architects do this. They must do the same thing. It's a certain percentage of what they believe the construction value would be. It's like 4% of the construction value.
But
if our construction value is like $67,000, then I would think it would be, that's like half the cost of that.
Well, yeah,
that's to me what
it is. He doesn't, this is, so you don't really know until you know what changes you have to, or, you know, what it's really going to be.
I think when I want another opinion, maybe, or I don't know.
It might be worth getting another.
I'm all for the 80, I mean, to me, 8,500 for that, but I guess I misunderstood. I thought the 8,500 was going to be like, here's your plans. Now take them to whoever contractor builds these plans, and it was going to be 8,500 and then 60,000. But if we're 8,500, then 30, then 60.
So
that's a different story.
So it sounded like, you know, there can be another discussion for sure with him. So it says, the last item in phase one, Hyde will develop the concept provided by Olson to a schematic design level, allowing the client to solicit more detailed construction estimates for the project.
Which are different than the lowest level.
Well, I hate to skip a step, but I feel like if we skip the 8,500 and just go to the, like, find an architect and designer who we could take the conceptual drawing to, we want this to look like this. Can you do the measurements and draw plans?
Yes, and put that stamp on
there.
Right.
So when I first talked to him, he said that that's going to be, you know, like, well, upwards to, in total, $40,000 or so.
I wonder, would they come and talk next month?
Really,
I mean,
high.
Would you think that
seems ridiculously high, and I don't know if they're... If that's a difference between residential, which I'm used to dealing with, versus a commercial, which is...
But I think to me, the part I'm struggling with is that when you look like a residence, like we're not a typical commercial type level of building.
Right. I mean, this is
why I think it should go more towards...
This translates more to a residential type project.
I feel like if we found a builder and gave them the conceptual drawing, that they would be able to do some of that stuff for us and get to the point of, like, that's why it's too bad Greg is not here.
I know.
So, so like when we did our house, we...
You had an idea.
We used Webster. We had an idea. We met with them. But they were a firm that had the architects look at it in conjunction with engineers that they have. And they kind of design it together, and, you know, once you decide what you want,
all three of you recently went through similar projects. Obviously, I'm starting from scratch, so I don't think any of us has spent that kind of money on plans in engineering.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I think it would be worthwhile. Well, and you're starting to go through it too, Gail.
Yeah.
So even on your home for your remodel and upgrade, I think those numbers are significantly different for the type of project we're looking at. If we're not in a rush to do things, why don't I reach out to some companies that have done work here and say, here is a conceptual remodel of City Hall, and see if they're willing to take that on and at least come out and look at it and say, this building is not built this way and will not support this.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you $30,000 to do it. And then we've got somewhere else to go before we spend what I'm kind of, I think the vibe is, $8,500 to tell you, yes, we can do it or no, we shouldn't.
Yeah.
And then if you want stamped plans, it's $30,000. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 So, well, because, and I asked him, and again, you know, Kelly was recommending him, and so, you know, of course, he's mainly in the, you know, the commercial business.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So when I asked him, I said, well, have you ever been to Lake Quivira? Oh, yeah, I've got good friends that live out here. Oh, okay. And he knew exactly the building and everything. Because to me, when I was looking at what a nice concept would look like and providing that to Kelly so that it's, you know, a little bit nicer than just a little one little peek over the door, I was looking at houses.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know,
uh-huh.
And you know, I gave him your house.
Yeah.
Because to me, this seems so similar.
Yeah.
You know, to
absolutely.
Ours is kind of similar to it too.
And so John,
it does seem really similar, and that's why the two-step process to me just does not.
And then I told him this isn't a 1928 building.
This was, I was going to say the building is the 70s built.
And so this was built in the 70s. Not that building in the 70s was necessarily perfect or anything, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a fabulous start, but now that I understand, it feels to me that we just need to get a little more clarity.
Yeah.
If you're not in a rush, I'll be glad to shoot some emails out.
That's great.
If you could, or if Kathy, do you have the renderings?
Yeah.
So if I could get those tomorrow, I will try to shoot those out to 3 or 4 companies.
I'm
happy for them. Well, Webster, were they design build? They didn't. I mean, they were soup to nuts.
Webster mainly does new construction, so they kind of helped us out because Greg uses them a lot. So.
Gotcha. Because I think design, you know, from a city level, just logistically, a design build would be nice. Where they'll here's the renderings, and they come out and say, here's the drawings, here's the engineered stamp.
Yeah.
And here's what it will cost to build.
Yeah.
And here's, you know, sign here.
Yeah.
And take it all the way through.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
And you guys, I mean, if you're obviously city representatives, if you want to reach out to your go-to person on your projects, there's nothing wrong with you talking to them, saying, hey, we're going through this. You've already built that business rapport.
Yeah.
And since we're all under budget and they're going faster than any of us could have ever expected, you know, we've got some good contacts.
I'm ready to take you the drawings.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
And so also, Greg was the one that gave me a highly recommended contractor. Not that we were only going to get one bill or anything, but that guy's been, you know, very responsive and everything. Okay. And
he so just reached out to him with the drawing.
See if he does that.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, I mean, so many contractors have their go-to architect.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we can come in way under those numbers that we get them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me reach out to him first thing in the morning.
Sounds good.
Because that'd be probably the best deal.
I'll wait till I get an email or a call from you saying, hey, go ahead and send your stuff out. Okay.
Gail, who are you reaching out to?
It's his name is Mike Brown.
Mike Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think he's
with Hive? Huh?
No, not with Hive.
Not going with Hive anymore.
Okay.
No, the other contractor that Greg gave him, he was a Johns County Commissioner or something here recently.
Okay, thank you.
I just have motions to
send
in
more
information if you
have more research. Yeah, I'll draw
your mind.
No, I don't. Hi, Brent. Yeah. Builder, developer.
I will officially withdraw my motion related to the architectural services.
Okay.
I got a that's a great start. That's going to be an awesome project.
Keep playing along. We're going to get there.
For sure.
It'll work out. What else you got, Gail?
Let's see. So we had, just a reporting of Fred Bronde. It's always exciting. Trash, heavy, large item.
It was so much better this year.
It was. Well, unfortunately, as Brady found out as he was talking to the folks at the driver at lunch, that they had never been to Lake Wagera before, and so consequently they didn't know all the streets and all of that, and they really weren't supposed to come. You know, the event started at 7, heavy stuff out, but they were not supposed to come at 7. They were supposed to be, you know, an hour or so later. And this guy, it sounds like, was in here probably almost before 7. I mean, he was here quickly because I started getting the phone calls of people who, and, you know, I wasn't here. I was in Hilton Head, and I was getting the phone calls from the people, all the people that, they were watching waste management pick up all of this stuff for City Union Mission because they were arriving first.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's, I don't know why it's always difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, what is your perception on
it? Well, you know, the rain Friday night didn't help because people didn't want to put out stuff that they were donating and let it sit in the rain all night. You know, I think we can revisit it and make it a little bit easier next year, and maybe see if City Union Mission can come Friday, or just push back waste management, say, don't come till noon. I mean, they were done. I don't know what time they started, but they were done by 11:15, 11:30. Now, they didn't pick up everything, so technically they weren't done. But
in their mind, they were.
Yeah.
Well, I got a call from Doug. I talked to him several times, and, I mean, he was really concerned because he says, I've got four trucks circling out here, and the driver has already made, you know, the loop.
Well, I thought Sally Chu told me that day that she talked to Doug and that they were able to fill almost four of his box trucks.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Sounds like a race.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Already tracked by it went better than last year's.
Well, I mean, it wasn't anything like that. But I do think it would be nice if we could separated by a day.
Do they even need to be the same day? Can it be two different events? Like, help support City Union Mission, put out your stuff.
Do that,
6 months apart.
Yeah.
So,
I think that might actually be really good because I know I worked the office a couple of days that week and we had so many people calling and saying, asking if they needed to separate it out themselves. Mm-hmm. Was City Union Mission looking for certain things?
Yeah.
And one lady called and she was like, well, all the stuff I'm putting out is broken. They're not going to want my stuff. I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah.
They know what they're looking for. Don't worry about it. But
yeah,
well,
I
think
it
does confuse.
Make notes on possibly two separate days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure we get the list of acceptable and unacceptable items that are suddenly changed for this year. Yeah, and then we'll talk about it before we set it next time.
Okay.
Learn from it.
Yeah, that was kind of frustrating to know that the list changed. I mean, we just went through this last year, as we all know.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good job.
I am going to hop in and be Gail for a second. Gail had emailed me earlier today. Her and I had met at the City of Shawnee after the last council meeting. She had visited last time about street signs.
Yeah.
And we had met with Shawnee, just reached out to him, hey, is this something that you guys could help us with instead?
Because
remember, she had gotten that list from the company with a really high price tag on it, and we had talked about maybe some of those. We don't even know if we need to have them. Gail and I met with their director of traffic engineering and their city manager here at City Hall. Gail had reached out to me today because we have not heard from them. So I reached out to their city manager and he sent me something at 5:45. So I apologize if it's not out here. It starts with, but they did kind of produce a bid, and I know we don't like to throw things out here real quick, but this is something that the bid for the first step is small. Their first step would be $1,000 cost. That would be inventory and to make recommendations. So what they would do with that is they would take the list that Gail's person had provided her, but they would actually map it out on mm-hmm. their software so we know where the signs are, that kind of thing. They would do a complete and physical inventory of the existing signs. They would utilize, they asked us if we used this acronym, MUTCD, which is not something that we had heard of, but they will use the manual on uniform traffic control devices to determine which signs we need to keep for sure and which locations those need to be located at. And they would submit a report within 30 days indicating recommended signs and locations. So that'll is step one.
That's all for $1,000?
All of that for $1,000. Then once that occurs, they did put on here that if we decide to do that, and then we decided to move forward with them, that they would be able to replace any sign that needed to be for $200 per sign is the estimated cost. It said they will provide a total dollar amount once we determine the number of signs to be installed. And included in that would be removing and disposing of existing signs and posts, purchase and installing new posts with the telestar with breakaway assembly, and purchase and installing new signs. They have a sign manufacturing place where they may be able to make some. They sometimes make them, they sometimes purchase them, depending on which one is more cost efficient.
And this is a crew that just kind of comes in a couple months out of the year, they're retired.
So this is a crew that they have like an entire engineering traffic department. They have every single one of their street signs mapped out on, like, a 3D city map.
Yeah.
They have everything on, like, a three-year rotation. So every 3 years, they go through and they have signs marked that they go look at a certain number of ones, replace, or, like, check the condition of them, replace them.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be, like, a certain quadrant of Shawnee they would do this for. And then the next year, they would go to a different quadrant. They have it on there so that once every 5 to 10 years, they're visiting every sign that they have to make sure that
right.
it's on this running schedule. And so the first part, the $1,000 part, would be those same crews. They warned that you would see the red City of Shawnee trucks, but they would be doing the same thing for us, going up Quivira Lane, going down Holiday Drive, going up Renner, mapping where all the signs are. They would then take that and place it into this 3D map, similar to what they have for our city limits. They would use that and compare it against the traffic manual to go along with police officers in court to make sure that we have the correct number of signs within the placement that you need to be in compliance,
yep.
and then give us the report.
Am I remembering right that there were like 200 signs that were on that deal from a couple of our last meeting?
I don't remember. I just remember around 80,000
well,
or so.
And a lot of them were the signs that said, like, every so many feet, parking not allowed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially like
throughout.
That's not 200 individual poles.
No.
There's
no.
There's no multiple signs on one pole.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, I mean, for $1,000, and them being neutral, they're not economically incentivized to sell signs.
Not at all.
No, they were like, we will be happy to do the $1,000, give you your report, and you do absolutely nothing after that. So that's why they turned it into more of like a two-part bid, because the list that Gail had provided was a good comprehensive list, and it listed off like Renner signs, Holiday Drive signs, Quivira Lane signs, but it didn't have them actually marked on a map, which we thought it might be more helpful to actually have a map where these are marked so that we could see which ones we needed to replace or which ones we could reuse in a different location or things like that.
I'm trying to pull it up here. But, I mean, I'm of the mindset that having an entity that isn't economically incentivized for there to be more signs, poles, whatever, do that, that'll save us thousands of dollars. Oh, here, I got the quote right here. There's total
$31,180.
It doesn't say number.
I'm counting right now.
But no, there was the other one that had the inventory, and then there was the other sheet that talks about the post.
But
I'm going to say for some reason I have like 85 in my head as far as like the number of signs, but I don't know if any of that.
I mean, I'm at 90.
Okay.
It's over 100, but there's 31 no parking tow away signs.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Yeah, and this guy, and remember Gail had mentioned last time that the person at the sign company had quoted her about needing to have evacuation routes, and it's funny because the Shawnee director of traffic engineering said he used to live in Hurricane Alley in Florida, and that was the only time that he ever saw evacuation routes, but he seemed very up on like what you're supposed to have and all of that kind of stuff. So.
Well, and I think it's great that you reach out to Shawnee, and they've always said reach out to us if you ever need help or have questions, and
okay.
I'm not going to mind that too, $1,000 just to get that. And
yeah.
We'll see a lot more than that with the final implementation. Gail, I mean, I think this is your, I don't want to step on your toes. You make the motion to make that happen.
And I'm more than happy I can post this on the internet so that everyone can see a copy or email it out or anything, but literally it's just a one-page quote, and I listed off everything. The step one was the $1,000 and not have those three things. And then below it, it said, if you would want to go with us.
And then would we, maybe wonder when I was reading the new contract or whatever it is between Shawnee and Liquid Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this would be another service that they're providing for it. So would something like that go into that contract, or would this just be if we went that route?
Yeah,
or would
we
just
have to go that route.
Yeah. I think if we decide to stick with them or anything like that, this one is just like a one-off quote is what it looks like. It's addressed to me, and it's signed to Doug Whitaker, the director of engineering for Shawnee. Just says, dear Aaron, we would be glad to assist you with sign replacement on Holiday Drive for Nared Quadrilla Line and Crescent Boulevard. Here is the following of what we propose. So.
Okay. So yeah, if you selected them, then you could just do it as an addendum to the other agreement or do separate, whichever. Then we actually get in their schedule.
Yep.
Right. And it's more official.
Sure. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
As people retire.
Yeah, it'd be great just to have that information. I mean, just to get for $1,000 seems like a giant hole in what our inventory is.
Yes.
I agree.
So like I said, sorry to throw that at you, but it's
something that
I felt was a necessary, and a thank you to Gail for
absolutely
reminding me about, we had that meeting way back when, and I think he was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I've had this for a week or two, forgot to do it. So,
okay, so then I will make a motion to, go forward with $1,000 of services by the city of Shawnee to inventory our street signs.
Inventory and map.
And map.
I would include.
Have a motion?
Second.
And I have a second. Any discussion? Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. The ayes have it. Motion carries. Good job.
So hopefully, depending on what their schedule is, I would assume that I would have a report back by the July meeting, if not by June.
Okay.
And then we can decide from there.
Yeah.
What?
Right. John?
Sorry, don't mean to be disingenuous. Apparently, it's a little minor incident on the home front. No big deal. So far. I don't have much. That's going to change quite a bit next month. But Bill, there's a few other moving pieces to some of the stuff Bill mentioned, but I don't think those really pertain until a couple of meetings take place over the next couple of weeks. But he and I intend to get together and have a really detailed conversation next month or before the June meeting.
Okay.
And
Anyway,
I'm trying to think. No, I don't. Everything's going to go for the 4th. The dam spillway, like I said, that'll all be covered. And, Dave?
All right. Well, I would expect, I know you're the second in the hierarchy as far as.
He's the president of the council. Dave, would you like to go ahead?
I don't know if you have the authority.
I was trying to be very mayoral in my
stand down.
So now that the mayor's out. the gas station is up and working finally, and that was a big ordeal, but, you know, we're up and going. We got the new heater root system installed, and it's cranking out three quarts. It's really set up nicely for when we take over, which is looking like June 10th. So I will conveniently be out of town that day. Mm-hmm. So, of course, well, but that's, you know, it's plugging along. And the EMV upgrade is in Double Check's court right now. So waiting to hear back from them on timing. And so that's it on the gas station front. I don't think there's much else to add. And then with waste management, just continuing to stay in touch with them. We got more and more events now, especially laying down more and more outdoor events, just making sure they're not doing any type of particularly smelly work when we have a lot of people here. So.
And would it set cell close down completely so we don't ever have to worry about
that? That cell is done. But as part of the degeneration of the garbage, they will from time to time need to drill holes into it to pipe the methane gas out. Mm-hmm. And that won't be pleasant. But that will be much less frequent than the odors that we've had from that site in the past. And then the other, I think especially this time of year, the one area that does cause some problems is their yard waste facility, which sits up high and more toward the south than the east. So it's kind of right in a bad spot. But that, especially after a big heavy rain and they process it sometimes over the weekend, just kind of has that more kind of earthy bad smell rather than mm-hmm. the garbage bad smell. So, but that is, I think if you smell, you know, I think some of the odors we get, I just talked to Mike Hay this week because I got a comment from a resident. And just, you know, it was right after big rain. It was right after everybody mowed their lawns. He said, yeah, that's got to be it, but he'd go check it out. And they're pretty good about jumping on it and shutting it down for the day or just covering it up some more. But it is, I mean, it's right there.
Yeah.
So, but I think just sharing the calendar with them. And our new contact at Q-Inc at the clubhouse, Eric.
Willie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been really good about making sure I have the information I need. So that's been an improvement. So. Just communicating.
Good.
On the waste management front, I was going to add, I've been copying Gail on an email. The last couple of yard waste pickups we've had, we have been charged for contaminated loads, but they don't give any detail on the invoice about that or any kind of, I get a text message when the truck is on its way out here to pick it up, but I don't get any kind of response back. Gail, I know you saw that John, I reached out to John and copied you on it. He said he was looking into it. That was last week. I still haven't heard anything. I don't know.
I have a phone call.
They switch my conversations to my day and be like, hey.
Yeah.
I have a phone call with John tomorrow, so I might mention that.
It's just very frustrating not to have a person to reach out to and get a response in a timely manner. I would think that a $300 per yard waste pickup charge would be something that would be fully documented.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to document that it's contaminated, I feel like it should not be something that is that difficult to have to need to do research that lasts over 7 days in order to get a response.
Yeah. So we charge an additional $300 if it's contaminated in one of those.
And we don't know
this
why
is
it's contaminated.
This
we don't
is
know
new. I've never seen it before. It was both pickups on March 25th.
Is it $300 per container? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does our contract provide anything for that? Does the contract we entered into them provide anything for that? I don't recall.
He has mentioned contaminated charges when he has come out here to speak.
Right.
But that's been mainly residential.
We have never been charged for one before, and then now all of a sudden we got charged for both containers that they picked up.
How often did it pick those up?
It was March 25th pickup. We switched it to weekly.
Yeah.
Just during this busy season.
Right.
That was the second time they had done a weekly pickup and
okay.
supposedly had both come back as contaminated.
So that's eight containers a month.
Well, and
right.
What I think is odd is when you think of going back years back,
yes.
that we've, I mean, people are surely a lot more educated these
mm-hmm.
days.
Yeah.
on don't put your plastic.
Yeah.
Totally agree, but normally if there is one, then they have been fine with like, oh, well, as it's coming out, we can just kind of take that out of there. Mm-hmm. If that's what it is, then let me know, and then we can push more communication out to the residents.
Yeah.
Instead, it's, let me look into that, I'll get back to you.
I made a note, I'll see if I can get some clarification.
Julie, yes. Okay. Anything. And if he is not the correct person for me to reach out to for things like that, I am more than happy to switch to a different person.
Gotcha.
Just he needs to be a little bit better on the communication side.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Kathy and I have had this discussion many times.
Dave, did you have anything else?
No, I did not.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Going on to the mayor's report. I was going to talk about Fred Bronde, too. It was the weather looked kind of iffy, but I thought we had a really good turnout. Collected a ton of trash, a lot of trash on Holiday Drive, Revere Lane. Not so much in the gate, obviously. But good turnout. You know, the Braun family was very happy. Just good spirits all around. So let's keep doing that. I think that's really important to do. The Arbor Day, May Day event, I was out of town, so I missed it, but I did talk to some people that were there. Approximately 50 people showed up, and but it went well, and again, everybody there was happy to be there. They loved the event, loved the idea. There were kids there. They surprised Mike Cooper with a special recognition, and he was not expecting it, and I guess that was pretty neat to see. So that's something else that we'll hopefully keep doing. Foundation meeting, we kind of talked about that a little bit. They have brought on Randy Treese to kind of be the marketing guy. They want to kind of push this again because, you know, they really pushed it hard a few years ago, and then they just kind of stopped talking about it, and there's so many new people out here. So Randy's going to do that. They're also looking at different ways to donate, possibly through your Lake Revere chip. If you want to say, hey, take $20 a month, you know, off my bill, whatever, goes towards the foundation. So expect some news about that to come out. I got 4th of July down here. I just figured at some point you and I would get together, start talking with QA, Mother's Club. I don't think we have to worry about the stuff we did last year. But we still might have to do the social distance parade. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll get together on there. I'll get Dean involved and we'll go from there.
And traditionally we've met the, I haven't even looked what's the date of the June meeting. It is the 7th. So maybe if we typically meet in about a month before, so I'm wondering if we try to get that June 3rd.
Okay.
Let's try to get Fred and then Dean, because Dean hasn't had a normal 4th yet.
Right. Yeah.
And then somebody from Mother's Club, usually it's Katie.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Okay.
Do you want me to facilitate that?
Yeah, if you want to reach out to Dean and say, you know, we'd like to try and nail it down before our council meeting. Even end of May, early June, whatever.
John, they have new Mother's Club residents now as well.
Oh, who's that?
It's Natalie Robbins, Lisa Billman, and Megan Kors. And I have a meeting with Lisa this week. I can double check with her on which one she wants you to reach out to for the 4th if you want.
And yeah, will you text me that? Yep. And
have any of them been to one of our 4th of July?
Well, I know Billman's
have.
You know, we might want to get Katie Bunsman or Lauren Lawrence or somebody in the meeting just to. Just to pass the baton.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to set that up, that'd be great.
I'll get with Fred to you or Brady, like maybe the morning of June 3rd. You guys have any conflicts?
Yeah, I mean, Fred's basically got it mapped out, a document. So, Fred, you know, we'd love to have you there. But he's usually got it. I mean, he's got a timeline. He's got what officers will be on duty, how many, that type of deal. So,
shoot me an email and I'll reply with my tree plan.
Okay.
I'm sure you've seen the one before, but I do it every year. I usually update it.
Yeah.
year to year, so. And you can share that with your contacts as well on the QAnk side. I usually put notes for them as well. It helps me remember who's responsible for what.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I sure hope we get to have a normal one.
I think it's going to be fairly normal, but we'll see. Okay, so that's all I have for my mayor's report. So moving on to old business.
I'm going to interrupt real quick. Someone much smarter than me and much more green-thumbed. Did we have 5 trees for the Arbor Day?
2
event? 2
Was it 2?
Because there's 3 evergreens or pine trees.
Are there? Well, there are 2 maples that I saw.
It might have been 5 because I noticed 3 down there on Sun, or yes.
Like I said, I will just have to get with Annie because she's the one who emailed me the invoice from QAnk for the purchase of the trees, which to me added up to 5 trees and $885.
Yeah.
And then Annie sent back and was like, this is what I have that we spent so far on those trees, $584.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to
double check.
And this has maple, a crab apple, and 3 green giants.
Yeah, I saw the 3 green
someone
evergreens. Yeah.
Okay. Like I said.
Cool.
No green thumb. I was a little confused.
But those were already most of them were already planted. They just planted them.
Okay, but 5 new.
Paper shovel thing.
Oh, okay.
5 new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, under old business, you guys should all have the bids from Greg Preed regarding the asphalt bids on Quivira Lane that he received. He wanted me to let everybody know that he received a bid from Way & Sons and then 2 from Mac & Annie. He also reached out to somebody Fred referred, but the guy just said that's kind of too big for me. And then he tried one other company that he never got a call back from. So based on the bids that he got, you can see the Way & Sons bid is about $89,000. The first one from Mac & Annie was $63,000, so significantly lower. The Mac & Annie bid number 2 included an extra 1,000 feet going further up Quivira Lane, but that is into Wyandotte County and the Shawnee. So Eric, or Mac & Annie bid that, and that's why it came to $90,000. But Aaron pointed out something that we cannot basically, pay 2 cities' roads, 2 other cities' roads.
Correct.
So based on that information and based on the bids,
we can share information with those cities, but we cannot enter into an agreement that affects a different city.
Yeah, correct. And Greg did say he reached out to KCK, didn't hear back. He did hear back from somebody from Shawnee. They were going to look at it. So he's just going to stay on top of them and see if he can get that 1,000 feet stretch done by KCK and Shawnee down the road. So he also included a map of the area that would of Quivira Lane. So basically it's that kind of that triangle area by number 8 pond all the way up basically to almost 78th Street. And that road's in bad shape. Dean's mentioned it to me. We did some temporary patches on some potholes that are already starting to kind of come up again. So Greg's opinion was to accept the Mac & Annie number 1 bid for $63,723. I can try and answer some questions if you have any questions. I obviously cannot make any motions, but that is all the information that I've got.
So it's interesting. So the price, the unit price on Mac & Annie is $1,101 on Way & Sons. Of course, for different feet. But then, so then Way & Sons, I just wanted to make sure we were apples and apples.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Mac & Annie's, I guess, that $11 includes all the striping and...
And the traffic control.
Traffic control.
Yes. Yeah, so significant difference in price there.
That was going to be my only question because I could never get the map to load, but I just wanted to make sure that we were comparing the same length of road and the same type of product.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All the quantities are different. Yeah.
Right, and that's where I was
I don't know why they would be. Greg said that he provided them with the map. You know,
provided the people that quote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, obviously, with all the McEnannies and Bozemans that have lived out here for years and years, I would think that they would know exactly what stretch we're talking about.
Well, and then the Way and Sons bid, if you add in the $12,000 for striping and $2,800 for traffic control, divide that by their linear feet of $66.78, that's $13.34 per foot,
mm-hmm.
where McEnany's at 11 a foot.
Yep.
So even, I mean, it's my intention to make a motion on this in Greg's absence, but I mean, even if the measurements were wrong, I mean, to put it in perspective,
it's still a lower price for the McEnany per foot than it would be for the other one.
Yeah, so 11 times 66.78. So it'd be 70. I mean, McEnany with the same footage as Way and Sons would be 73,458, which is still 16,000 less than Way and Sons. So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm.
Yeah, I like the McEnany a bit better. I mean, I'd like to have some verification that the distance is accurate.
Could you, if anybody were to make a motion, could that just be included in the motion?
Yeah,
and maybe even include the striping and traffic control just to be certain.
Yeah, to be certain on that. Well, and what's the timing of getting this going?
Well, I mean, everybody wants it done now,
right.
Obviously.
Okay. Because I'm looking at their bid, and it's got like this teeny tiny little thing that tells,
yeah.
Okay, here's our terms and conditions, and obviously we need more than that. We need,
mm-hmm.
you know, we need to require insurance. Obviously they have insurance, mm-hmm. but I still want to get all that in place. So the reason I'm asking is if we want to get it going right away, we probably want to do the motion subject to, you know, approval of an agreement with them. Because I'm not crazy about just that
sure.
to protect us. So yeah. I just want to say that and then authorize you to sign it.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think it'd be appropriate to get the, make sure it specifies that striping. And I guess, do you want to go with that measurement? I need to pull it back up for the McEnany's.
Or
do you just go with the per foot?
Or do we say repaving, doing the mill and overlay work from Quivira Lane and 78th Street heading northwest until Quivira Lane intersects with Holiday Drive.
Right.
And then
you could do not to exceed amount if you wanted.
And then not to exceed the bid amount.
Right.
Including striping and traffic control.
And what we can do is when we draft up that agreement, we can include all that in it. You know, just specify
yeah.
that. And then they might want to weigh in on that. To make sure it's clear and minimize what they're actually doing.
And do you think the striping is any different? Is striping because, you know, they,
right.
Way and Sons talked about this, whatever kind of marking, thermoplast, and then this edge line and arrow and
mm-hmm.
stop bars and all of that. I mean, I don't know if there's.
I don't know the answer to that.
Fred, do you know, is that a standard NHTSA kind of thing or not?
Yeah, there's different types. I mean, they have crushed glass that they put in striping to add some reflective, and they don't. It just depends on. So if it's not outlined in the quote
yeah.
between the two, they need to be more detailed.
Yeah.
Right.
Whether it's paint, whether it's hot applied.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to assume anything, but knowing how bad, you know, people want that done and knowing McEnany and Bozeman, I would think that they would do it right, you know. But.
And this does say APWA.
Just to clarify.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want to go with their bid, we could just make sure we clarify that in
yeah.
the agreement. But I don't think the question if it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, if we can, with that said, then I think I would make a motion that we accept the McEnany bid for billet overlay work on Quivira Lane running, let me pull the map up, northwest from 78th Street to the triangular intersection at Holiday Drive, not to exceed $63,723, subject to the approval of a contractual agreement.
Do you want to specify the unit price or not? Or do you just want to stick with the maximum amount? I think either is fine.
I'd probably stick with the maximum amount. But then you'll see to it that the striping is
sufficient
or
striping and traffic control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so should that be in the motion, or is it okay if that, can that be implied to be in the agreement?
So don't include the striping and traffic.
I'd say include the striping because they do have that on their bid. They don't have traffic control on there.
But I mean, if that's something that's important you guys want to make sure is included, then just say, and include traffic control as part of that price. I think that's appropriate.
So let's include the traffic control.
Yeah. That way it's not me saying it, it's council saying it.
John, was that 63,723? Did I hear that right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion.
Erin, do you have the item in the budget?
Yes, we have
90.
Remember, this was the year that we've been up to 90 on the road work. But it is working out nicely that this could have the $1,000 for the city of Shawnee for street signs and this both included on the same thing.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Will Greg reach out to them, or do I need, maybe Greg should reach out to them as far as just getting, so if they may have a standard contract they want to start with.
Yeah, they've done lots of work for us.
Yeah, the time.
They should have a.
I would assume so.
They do a lot of work for us and a lot of work for Shawnee. Yeah, so I would assume they would have some type of standard.
Yeah, I've dealt with them before.
City contract. Well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number two, old business we already discussed. On the new business, consider agreement with City of Shawnee for contracted services, including building permit review, inspections, and emergency services.
So this is basically the combination of two prior agreements. The two cities have been working under two previous agreements that are still in effect. This will basically take the place of those and just put them into one. It was at the request of Shawnee. They're just trying to clean up some of their contracts, and they reached out to Erin and me and some time back, and so basically now we just all went through everything put together, and I mean, I would just recommend you move forward, but you're basically getting the same services you've already been getting, and the contracts are just a little cleaned up into one.
No price changing, no change of
10 years?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
10 or 5?
Maybe it
was 10. I think it was 10 with 5-year options.
Okay, is that what it was? This was another thing why they were pushing it, so that they could get everything on. Like I was saying, they have all of their street signs on a schedule. It sounds like they are trying to get a master schedule for all city-related items that they go through, and this would just be another one of those.
And we always have the ability to get out of it for some reason we wanted to.
Okay.
And does this contract I was looking for, but I don't think I saw it, I mean, it lays out everything, but does it say specifically, or is there any mention of what entrance they're supposed to go in? You know, what, as far as I know, hasn't that been a...
No, it wasn't.
Part of our agreement as far as...
They've got a plan in place based on where the call is.
Okay.
What type of emergency call is, that maps them which entrance to take. and they're confident with that and their decisions. There was an incident not too long ago where, I don't know if it was blown out of proportion or what, but it ended up not being a big deal. Well, if Michelle thinks this is good.
Do we need a motion to approve that?
Yes.
Can we
typed up and everything?
Because there's a sample motion there for you.
I'll take a stab.
And yes, for the refreshments for a 10-year period with the renewal for 5-year renewal.
I move that the council approve an agreement with the City of Shawnee for plan review for building applications and inspections and fire and emergency medical response services in the City of Lake Quivira and authorize the mayor to sign such agreement.
Wow.
Okay. Very good. Almost like you read it. Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second it.
We have a second. Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion carries.
I think that will go to Shawnee's next meeting, I believe, for their approval.
Middle of May, if I remember correctly.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. Budget discussion. Do you want to save that till the end?
That's fine.
Okay.
We're not going super deep into it tonight.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Update on the mask mandate.
I don't think I have any more updates besides what I sent you guys. Johnson County changed theirs from an ordinance to a recommendation as of May 1st. Wyandotte County adapted theirs to be not required during outdoor as long as social distancing is enforced. Indoors, it is still required. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, there's only two counties in Kansas that are still requiring them. Wyandotte County did update theirs to go through May 28th, and then we'll revisit it at that time. So until then, we are still masked here for the public at City Hall and at any other buildings within the city that are located within Wyandotte County.
Okay.
No?
Any questions?
Yeah, any questions?
Okay. Let us know if you hear anything else.
Will do. So, yes, the agreement that we signed with Johnson County is no longer applicable.
Okay. I'm going to go to number 5, the emergency exit road. So the emergency exit road was used about a month or so ago during and around the time of a really heavy downpour. When we put that road in, it's queuing property, so we had to get their permission. We had homeowners on each side of the road that opposed it at the time. We wanted, asphalt all the way, but understandably they didn't want it to look like a road from Renner all the way into their cul-de-sac. So we explored other options. Part of the road is gravel, then it gets to basically where the yards are in between the houses, and we came up with, it's kind of like a steel waffle grid that you put down. You're able to put sod or seed grass over it, and it's verified to carry these big fire trucks and all sorts of emergency vehicles. So we kind of compromised doing that. Unfortunately, when we get heavy rains or snow, it can be a big issue, and an ambulance almost got stuck, big ruts, mud in the street, some unhappy homeowners. So I am exploring the option of seeing what it would take to pave that. I know I talked to one neighbor who was 100% for it. I have not heard back from the other neighbor. I'll get a bid from maybe Way and Sons and McEnany. Go from there. We might want to think about if we do that road, which basically, we can do it if we want to. We were just trying to accommodate the two homeowners. Nobody else opposed it. Everybody was for it. And then maybe we might have to add some trees just to kind of disguise it a little bit. So I'll have some more information on that probably at the next council meeting. But if you get asked about it, just say, we're looking into it.
Barring a change in the McNamee bid.
I'm sorry?
Barring a difference in the McNamee bid for Flubert Lane, there should still be around 20,000.
I was kind of hoping we could have enough, because it's not a long, I mean, we'll still keep the gravel.
Right.
And then there's even kind of a little apron approach.
Yep.
So it's not much.
I would assume that that
yeah.
should be enough to be able to do that.
I'm hoping so, too.
Make sure that you knew that.
Yeah. I did notice in 2020 we put $5,000 in for the emergency exit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we spent any of it.
No.
And then 2021, I can't remember if we have any money in there.
So we moved most of it out of there, but we did leave $2,500 in it.
Okay.
And so, that was mostly for, like, if we needed anything with, like, the garage system.
Right, like with
the
ants.
The
ants got in there. Yeah.
But, yeah.
They're redoing Quivira Lane. They're going to have a whole lot of asphalt millings that can go somewhere.
Great.
That's a good idea.
Doing it in conjunction might be
even
that.
If it doesn't look the best, it will still serve, I think, get their opinion on it as a good base for new asphalt, possibly. So I know typically, especially if it's a McNamee job, those asphalt millings stay relatively close.
Yeah.
And either Cuing puts it to use. So
okay.
Just a thought.
That's a great thought. I'll keep that in mind. See what we can do about that.
Who are the two neighbors? Soika's on one side, right?
Soika and Max Callahan. Soika's moved in and you know, the road was approved. I think it was partially built. The previous neighbor, Ron Herder, was very against it. I'm not sure about Max. He hasn't spoken to me since I put that in. So we'll see. Should be interesting. But again, like I said, if we think that's the best thing to do, you know, we can do it. We were just trying to appease a couple of homeowners at the time.
Are there any design options that don't look so much like a road? I mean, can you do kind of two lanes for the wheels and kind of,
you know, I have the same thing. Yeah, you know,
medium fancy,
like pavers almost, or
yeah.
something.
I'll ask Bozeman about that.
Well, that's only. I mean, again, it's for the betterment of the community.
Yeah,
and we're allowed to do it. Just you know,
looking
out for the best interest of the homeowner's values as well. It's safety first, but maybe there's a middle ground. So.
I'll ask Bozeman about that.
And Gail, that kind of goes back to what you were asking. City of Shawnee gets the information first, and then so they kind of use whatever is closest. They then pass whatever entrance they are told to use along to Johns County Med Act.
Yeah.
That's where the ambulance comes from. So it's from two different locations. So sometimes I've had people scream at me before, why did they use both? Because sometimes the truck is closer, the ambulance might be closer to the front entrance. So that's quicker to get them there. Shawnee, I know, does pass along to MedX which entrance they're using. But like I said, they could be coming from any place in the county, so it really does just kind of depend.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like basically a driveway. I mean, you'd think pavers or cobblestone or brick. I mean, I think they could be made to look very aesthetically pleasing.
Doesn't have to be striped or... I mean, yeah. It looked like an overgrown trail.
Budget discussion?
Okay. Do you want to do the dam inspection agreement first?
We need to do an executive session.
Ah, that's right. Okay. All right. So, my name is Erin, and I'm here to ruin your day. those of you who have been with me for a while, we used to not have a lot of restrictions on budget setting. And then in 2015, the House and Senate passed the tax lid. And so we went to a tax lid, which meant that we could not raise our mill levy or the amount that we were filing for without going to a vote of the public. And so that was never a huge problem for us because there were lots of other cities and counties that started getting all these exceptions in there and exemptions, and so we were able to take advantage of that with anything related to emergency funding. So anytime Shawnee would raise our bill for fire or anytime Fred needed something for police, those are all exemptions. Lots of employee healthcare costs, there were lots of exemptions. whales, all of that has changed. So if you want to start with the mill levy, how to calculate a mill, because remember in budget planning, everything is about the mill. So this is the same document that you saw last year. Kind of goes through how to calculate a mill. I won't go through all of this. You can kind of look it over. This lists our mill levy, and as you have seen since 2017, when the tax lid came about in 2016, we have kept our mill levy the same, been able to take advantage of some growth in property valuations, appraised values, all of that kind of stuff. So you can see, even though we kept our mill the same, we've been able to budget for higher expenditures, and then you'll see assessed valuations have also gone up. Okay, so then at the bottom there kind of shows you an example for Lake Quivira, the bottom of page one, everyone following where I am, where it says the county clerk's tax levy. Okay, so that showed you for 2021 where we came up with our total assessed valuation, what a mill is worth, since a mill is one thousandth of that, what we needed to fund our budget after the numbers that we plugged into our Excel document, that's what we were missing. That's how you get to the 17,228. Everyone following along so far?
Yes.
All right, now I'm totally going to flip you for real, because now we have Senate Bill 13, which has passed the House, and it has passed the Senate, and it has been signed by Governor Kelly, and everything that you have learned now is different. Okay, so we are now, the tax lid has been completely repealed, and we are now working with a phrase that you're going to get really tired of me saying called the revenue neutral rate. Essentially, what happened is that homeowners across the state felt like governments were lying to them, where we would keep our mill levy the same, but they would be charged more in property taxes because the value of their home had gone up. Okay? Now, we can't do that unless we choose to exceed the revenue neutral rate. We do not have our assessed valuations back from the county yet. We will not get that until June 15th. But based off of the meeting that I had with the Johnson County appraiser, we saw similar growth to what we saw the past year. House values are going up. We can now no longer, if that's the truth for us, keep our mill levy the same without exceeding this revenue neutral rate. And if we do that without presenting it beforehand, then we're going to be in big trouble. So, the revenue neutral rate, keep track of this math, whoever the genius was who came up with this one, is the tax rate for the current tax year, so for 2021, that would generate the same property tax revenue as levied during the previous tax year. So what we're looking for, our revenue neutral rate, I'm assuming would probably be in the upper 16s, lower 17s for our mill. Because that would mean that even though homeowner A's house was, say, $100,000 valued in 2021. In 2022, their valuation is going up to $110,000. We are not able to anymore take advantage of that $10,000 extra without exceeding this revenue neutral rate. So instead of what they want is to pay still the same amount of property taxes, even though their house value has gone up. Mm-hmm. Kind of tracking here? Okay. So, instead of doing, the only good thing about it is that if we were to want to exceed the revenue neutral rate, we would no longer have to do an entire vote here or anything like that, like we did if we wanted to exceed the tax lid. Instead, you can see that I wrote down kind of procedure for exceeding revenue neutral rate. She has to send us, county clerk has to send us our revenue neutral rate by 6/15. By 7/20, July 20th, we need to tell them whether or not we plan on exceeding it. If we do plan on exceeding it, then our normal calendar goes out the window. Instead of doing our budget meeting in August, where we open up the public hearing and we open up the budget meeting and we get everything voted on then, we would then get an extra month. We would host that sometime between August 20th and September 20th. We would do it the exact same way as we would in our normal one, except it would be an additional one. So we would open up the council meeting and start that. You would open up a revenue neutral rate part of the meeting. We would discuss what we had been discussing along the time, saying that we wanted to exceed it. The council would, we would present why that would be. We would listen to anyone from the public if they decided to come. You would then vote on it. If you voted to exceed, we would then close that. We would then move into the budget hearing portion of it. Mm-hmm. Same with the signs posted on the door and everything like that. We would then present the budget, have the similar discussion, vote on the budget, close that, and then submit it. And we would have to submit it by October 1st. And along with it, we would adopt either a resolution or an ordinance. It sounds like most people are doing resolutions just because they're easier. Approving the proposed tax rate and mills, stating that we are exceeding the revenue neutral rate. If we decide not to do any of that, same timeline as ever before. We would publish in July 10 days before our August meeting. We would have just the budget hearing portion of the August meeting. We would close that with the vote, and then our budget would still be due to the county by August 25th, like normal. So now that I've thrown like a ridiculous amount of information at you, most cities, it seems like, are going to have to exceed the revenue neutral rate. I don't think it will be as rare as it was to go above the tax lid. I believe since 2017, I think in the state of Kansas, they said there were 11 cities total in that four-year period that exceeded the tax lid and ended up putting their budget to a vote. Most people were able to work within the exemptions that were listed, that kind of thing. Unless we are finding ways to spend even less money than we have in years past, I am assuming that we would need to exceed this revenue neutral rate. We don't have to. I just want to go into this, kind of putting that out there, that this might be something that we want to look into. Now, what I think is that right now, for the 2022 budget and for the 2023 budget, they are not charging cities any extra besides what it is for the publication. Because if you're going to exceed, then you do have to publish it in the paper like you normally would for a budget anyway. But this would have to be in our designated newspaper, so we would have to do it in the ledger as opposed to just a mailbox clavierin. But that is most likely the route, it sounds like, that most cities will be headed in. Because otherwise, if you do not, and we cut some, and we moved our mills down, then I would assume that next year we would probably have to exceed the revenue neutral rate. Because all you're really doing is lowering it for one, but then eventually it's going to catch up and get to the point where you can't keep lowering it.
So at the end of the day, who benefits from all of this?
Supposedly homeowners. Taxpayers and homeowners, because it's clearer to understand. Which I'm sorry, it just took me a really long time to explain it. And if you don't get it, I totally get it still, because this is crazy confusing and why this has happened, I'm not really sure. Like I said, it originally started in the House as called the Truth in Taxation Bill, because people felt like they were being taken advantage of by a city like us saying that we're not raising property taxes, which we weren't. Property values just happened to go up, so the homeowners would end up having to pay a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
This eliminates that from being able to occur, but it also puts cities and counties in really, really tough spots to have to work within this rate. And it also adds a lot of work to the county clerk's office, having to not only get out assessed valuations and all of the other numbers that they have to get to me in order for me to get our budget put together, but now all of a sudden they have to add in this revenue neutral rate as well. Deal with all of these cities who have to let them know, I mean, budgets are going to be coming in at different times. The fact that this was just signed into law in April and they were like, oh yeah, no, let's do it for this year. There's a lot of things that are being thrown together from this. I will attempt to answer any questions that you may have, but like I said, I am learning this along with you. And yeah, I mean, the fact that it's truth in taxation and yet the calculation for the tax rate for the current year that would generate the same property tax revenue is levied using the previous year's number with the current year's total assessed valuation. The equation alone is very confusing in my opinion.
So, I mean, obviously, you could, I don't think the intent was off, but the execution is horrific.
Correct.
But how, this is just the curiosity side of me. How does it work with property values? It makes perfect, you know, I mean, it doesn't make perfect sense, but when property taxes or when property values drop, does the mill levy to meet the R&R rate increase to, does it work the other
way
around?
That's a fantastic question.
I want to know the answer to that.
I would love to. I'm going to my fourth seminar on that stuff next week. That'll be one that I'll have.
Well, yeah,
which is not something that they're really experiencing right now. And so I'm...
But at some point, it will happen again.
Right.
Yeah.
It will.
Is there a game for that gang or whatever?
Totally agree. They took something that was broken and, in my opinion, broke it a little bit more. Because, I mean, it. Once you get to the point where I was like, okay, my first 4 years as treasurer, we had, you know, normal budget planning, which is enough to learn in and of itself. And then the next 3 years was dealing with the tax lid, which once you finally kind of felt comfortable with that, now I'm like, hey, by the way, remember what I taught you last year? We're still kind of going to use that, but we're going to turn it around and use it in a completely different way.
So if our budgeted, whatever, you know, based on last year's assessed values,
yes,
the budgeted expenditures allowed were $1,706,400.
Correct.
So then they're just going to reverse engineer that. Whatever the valuations come in at, that's still going to be our total allowable expenditures.
Correct, so unless we choose to exceed the revenue neutral rate. Yep.
Yeah.
Before it was all about like your mill levy, before it was all about like setting your budget based on your mill levy, and now it's not. Now it's much more about what you can spend in total and the money that you're going to have coming in.
Okay.
So essentially what that's saying, if we're not going to, we can't exceed our revenue neutral rate, one of the more important parts of that document was the $552,977. Mm-hmm. If we want more money than that to put towards projects or anything else, then we either have to cut from areas of spending or go above this revenue neutral rate.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like we're very fortunate to have Erin,
yes,
who has her act together on
I don't know about that. I'm going to be totally honest here, and I taught this to my husband before a couple days ago, trying to see if it made any sense whatsoever. So I'm like, I don't talk about work at all, and he has no clue about budget planning, but I'm like, so this is the new thing. Could I bore you for 10 minutes and you tell me if it makes sense? So.
Yeah, I was just thinking, WWED, what would Erin do?
I cannot advise you about what I would do because I am more the person who puts in the numbers and then gives you with the presents you with the different options. Okay. Now, I will say that for us, this stinks. Considering the fact that I do not receive these numbers until June 15th, we will essentially, the July meeting in years past has always been kind of just cleaning up and putting finishing touches on our budget. Mm-hmm. it's no longer that, but it still could be that. So it's kind of direction-wise and things like that. I don't know if we, I mean, during June, we'll try to put together a lot of the numbers for things. And I sent out the document that I don't even think we need to go into like a ton, but if you look at the Excel document that I sent out, that just kind of shows you like same thing as normal. 2018 budget to actual, 19 same, 2020 same. 2021 you see a budget category and a January through April actual draft. I left a lot of the revenue numbers open because we don't have any of those yet. The expense numbers, these were just ones that I plugged in, and there's explanations all in the category next to them. I would say next month we start going through it. If you see your name in a section or if there's something that you know that falls under your areas of responsibility, if you want to do some research before then and just come back with numbers. Like I said, it's going to be really difficult considering that we're not going to have a lot of numbers for some larger projects. Spillway being main one, but then we don't even know when the...
So by June, we really need to think about each one of us and think about what we see coming up.
Yes.
Try and get pricing if we can. Okay.
Because then, like I said, then if we want to end up having another meeting after this revenue neutral rate is given, I can send that rate out through email to everyone once I have that. But like I said, that will be out by June 15th is what they say. They've always said that for our appraised valuation numbers, and I don't get them until June 15th. It is my daughter's birthday, and so I can tell you that that is normally the day that it actually comes out on. But that will give us a little bit more of an idea. But then, like I said, during July would be our final meeting to decide whether we are going the path of exceeding it or if we are trying to stay under it, and if so,
yeah,
how we can do that.
I almost feel like we need to kind of have an initial, you know, what's the council's initial posture on it?
And not to throw, like, a lot of complicated stuff at you and then, hey, okay, what are you thinking about it? But for direction for myself, at least for plugging in numbers and things like that, maybe even if you have friends who are council members in other cities, or if you know of any other people or something, people that you want to reach out to. If you have a feeling one way or the other of how you are leading, let me know. If you don't, that's totally fine as well, but it would help in putting together numbers just from a perspective of knowing if we are going to have to try to really convince, or not even convince, but try to stick within a certain thing, or if we do have a little more leeway.
Well,
and I've never been of the type to say, oh, let's exceed it, because I want our mill to go up to 20. Mine is, how much do we have to exceed it, or how much are we exceeding it if we keep it the same like we always have?
Well, I feel like we owe it to you so that you don't go down a rabbit hole that, you know, if everybody on the council is leaning one way. So I'll go first. My lane, and it pains me a little bit to say it because I think a lot of people take pride in the fact that the mill levy hasn't moved in, you know, a bajillion years, but we had the inflation hedge through the increase in property values. I just feel like with everything going on the spillway and all that, you know, we need to, and even to set the standard moving forward, because who knows, I mean, obviously there's elections in November, but who knows what the council looks like, you know, in years moving forward. But, you know, if you get a whole, you know, if you got some fiscally uber conservative, which I don't totally disagree with, but if you get somebody, we're not moving the mill levy, and you kind of set that culture, then, you've been, instead of trying to figure out how we need to operate as a city, it turns into, you know, well, what staff we have to cut, where do we have to cut corners and all that. So I think my sense on it is, you know, we need, my, or at least my lean is we need to consider the going over the DNR, RNR, whatever the heck you, you know, acronym you called it. But, you know, I also think there's an optics management to it as a council and as a city to say, I mean, it's kind of frustrating because then you, part of me says if you try to educate the public, I mean, what percentage of the population can describe what a mill is and what a mill levy is? I mean, it's probably less than 5%. So then if you try to educate, you know, then it's like, are you just opening up a can of worms where, you know, you know,
yep.
Start joking about dog ordinances and, you know, then you have, you know, fire and brimstone in here. So I guess mine, but, you know, I don't, if I was, if I had to cast a vote today, my vote would be to exceed it, but somehow try to put an educational piece out there that your mill levy is going up, but it's not really going up the way the mill levy is calculated at the state level based on this piece of legislation has caused a paper increase, but not an actual increase to the tax load.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, that's my two cents. I'll shut up.
Thank you. No, I mean, that's very helpful because, like I said, we were just to the point where, like, they even brought in, like, the consumer price index to the tax lid. So at least they were taking the average of the last 5 years of the consumer price index changes and giving that to us as part of, like, the tax lid change. In this, they're not giving you anything that helps you move in the direction that a city could.
And is it, well, it seems to me that if we kept our budget, if we kept our mill levy the same, we would have to file this.
Correct.
Because our mill levy that's allowed by the state will go down. So the message could be, you know, your mill levy is staying the same due to a change at the state legislature level. We're required to have this open meeting.
Yes.
You're welcome to come if you want.
Yes.
So we could, this mill levy is still 17.228. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, it's a hell of a lot more work here, but it may not be that big of a of an issue.
No, that's better messaging.
No, I think we've been, like I said, we could literally show data showing that since 2017 our mill levy rate has not changed.
Yeah.
We're not trying to take advantage of a lot of this. We are trying to work within the parameters that we have years past.
It's just a lot more work. To get to it.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a pain.
Yeah, I didn't articulate that. What you said was far better messaging is, you know, the state's making us do one extra step to keep the mill levy the same like we've done for the last 8 years. We'd love for you to show up in a meeting, not really.
Right, bring my dog. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts?
No, I think I agree with both of you. Still having a hard time just like,
Yes.
Well, somebody got mad that their house was going up 6% a year in value and inflation's going up 3% a year in value and they're saying they're 2% a year in value.
If you guys are curious, the state doesn't have to abide by this.
Oh, seriously?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And is this just the state of Kansas that's doing this or is this all over the United States?
No, this is state of Kansas. The tax lid one was modeled after Utah. The tax lid, I can give you a lot more background because it took years in process before it was passed. It was first brought out by the real estate agents group across the state of Kansas. They are the ones who presented it because they felt like certain cities across certain places in Kansas were raising their mill levy by these ungodly amounts and not giving people any say in it, and so that's why it went to a vote. This one, they're like, oh, well, it's much easier because you don't have to vote. You just have to have a hearing.
But
it doesn't feel easier.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're here to provide everything the city needs from a city basis, and it costs what it costs. Whatever curveballs they're throwing at us, I hope we can keep our bill levy at the same 17.228 and provide what this city deserves.
Yeah.
So that's my sense on it. If they're going to make us jump through a bunch of hoops, then.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. And like I said, not to say that we have to follow everyone else, but I'll keep you updated if that's helpful information in most places. We have our every other week call with Johnson County. And
yeah, keep us updated on all that stuff.
I will for sure, because like Overland Park went into this. Overland Park's mill levy is like ungodly low. It's 14-something. Everyone else is like, how in the world are you doing this? And before this was, we talked about it in March, and they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to do a 0.5 mill levy increase. Well, now in order to do that and all of this extra stuff that they have to do to go along with it, it just...
Yeah.
Even if towns who are have a small one are getting punished by any type of increase, and they're like, and everything, all of that 0.5 is going towards public safety because of developments that are occurring. But yet they still have to have a hearing about it. And two, not to talk poorly about the general public, but this is hard enough to explain to a treasurer, to council members and a mayor and an attorney and city employees, let alone to average layperson citizen who is just going to see, oh, they're increasing.
Yeah.
We're not. Mm-hmm. We are.
Is there anything else to add or anything else to discuss regarding the budget?
Like I said, we could go through that line item by line item, but I felt like this was enough information to digest this evening.
Yep.
You have the information there. The numbers that I plugged in, like I said, are just projections. Any of those can be adjusted.
So we each on our own
in
go
June,
this.
We will go through line item by line item. Hopefully by then we'll be, because a lot of the revenue ones, remember, I received from either the league or from normal, by then we should have motor vehicle numbers, at least some of the numbers filled in, so we'll be able to form a better opinion.
Well,
if you guys want to fill in Greg and Annie for me.
No, I was going to say you did a fabulous job explaining it, even though I still don't quite get it. But could you maybe reach out to Greg and Annie so we don't have to sit through the whole thing again? And then maybe the second time we talk about it briefly, we have a little bit more knowledge about it.
Like I said, I'm going to, I've already done one with the league, and I've done a class with KU's public management division with Wichita State. And then next week I will go to the one that I normally do that's put on by the municipal finance department of the state of Kansas. And
do we need
I'm
to
curious
have,
how this will.
Do we need to have any of the bonding information for budgetary reasons?
I don't think so, because I think a lot of that will be separate. But,
That's what I'm
sure. If we feel that right.
If other cities are just going to have to do that, they're going to like not have the meeting about the, I keep thinking DNR, but I know that's not it.
Well, it's not complicated. It should be DNR. R&R.
Just
rest and relaxation, the opposite of
complete
that.
Complete opposite.
It's going to make it float bonds instead. I mean,
well, and they haven't taken into account that all of us are getting funds through the American Rescue Plan.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
this is just
even more things that
throwing
a wrench into it. This was one of the fastest bills to ever make it through the House, Senate, Governor's desk, signed law.
Great.
So. Because that's why I haven't told you about it until now, because everyone thought it was going to be like, oh, if this passes, it'll start in 2023.
Okay.
They lobbied for it. No.
Well,
so,
we've got some work to do before the June meeting. Everybody take a look at it. And we will.
If you have any questions, or I can.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and read up a little bit more on this.
Specific thing.
I'm sure I'll come up.
It started as SB 13, Senate Bill 13, if you want to look at the origin of it.
Senate Bill 13, SB 13.
SB 13.
Okay.
And it started as some truth in taxation. It's what it was called.
Okay. Anything else from Aaron or budget discussion? No? Okay. Looks like we have the dam inspection agreement.
If we could do a quick executive session, and Aaron, if you could be in on that too, I mean, 10 minutes max, I mean, maybe 5 minutes, and then we would just need to do a motion after that, depending kind of on how that conversation goes.
Okay.
And there is a motion and a suggested motion sheet, if anybody wants to.
Okay.
I've got one. I move that the Lake Superior City Council recess into executive session for 10 minutes to consider consultation with legal counsel on matters privileged in the attorney-client relationship related to legal advice and contract negotiations. Present will be the mayor and city council, city attorney, and city manager. The governing body will return from executive session no sooner than
9:10.
9:10. Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
Discussion. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can't remember. Do we adjourn?
Yeah, just adjourn into executive session. Yeah.
And I can do that?
Yeah, based on the motion. We don't even normally say it, do we? Kathy just makes note of the
motion. Cool.
She's like,
Kathy's like, I'm not. You know, we're not a. Yeah. You know, a pokey little town, yeah. But a bunch of, you ne'er do good, or just we have our shit together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that too.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So with that, then we could go ahead and move forward with a motion on
we have to the contract
have once we come back in session.
Okay.
So we're back on. Okay. So we can just call it. Back to order, and then...
Okay. We will adjourn from the executive session and return to the regular session. What was it called? I don't remember.
Number 4, the dam inspection agreement.
Do we have to motion that, or the mayor just calls us
back? He just calls it back to order.
Yeah, okay.
I call it back to order.
Okay. I move that the council approve an agreement with McClure Engineering Services for dam inspection services in a lump sum amount of $3,900, subject to legal review and approval by the city attorney, and authorize the mayor to sign such agreement.
That's the motion?
I will second said motion.
We have a second. Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion carries. I'd entertain a motion to
adjourn.
We've got a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
No discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Motion to meeting adjourned.
Now, I didn't have that agreement. Is that something that you forwarded?
There's a couple little things I'm still working with them on. I just had a couple little changes.
Aaron, what is all that? Actually, it's
so,
your
I hope to hear back from them tomorrow.
Within
the last month or so.
Oh,
gosh,
crazy.
Like, it has just.